Hello and welcome to the Corner 3, where we are reveling in the glory of these 5th place Dallas Mavericks' win last night over the Atlanta Hawks and getting you ready for Mavs Warriors Part 2 tonight at American Airlines Center. My name is Bobby Corella. Joining me here in Studio 41, presented by Chime, the great Austin Ivan. Austin, drinking water out of a box. What's up?
Oh, nothing. Just hanging. Got some water. Trying to hydrate, you know? I don't have my coffee, so I'm needing a little energy this morning. But oh.
You said last week that you don't even drink coffee till the nighttime anyway. So why were you fueling up early last week?
I don't know. Sometimes I just am like, coffee sounds good this morning. So I'm going to go get it. But yeah, just water this morning, but it's okay.
Yeah, that's good. Hydration is key.
Yeah.
Hydration is key, especially before another late night basketball game.
Exactly. Got to save it.
Yeah, absolutely. On the other end of the table, no water, no coffee, just vibes. The great Isaac Harris.
Yeah, so last night, my family went to the game, and my father-in-law and his wife went to the game. First Mavs game for him. We get home, and I was like, hey, what was your favorite part of the game? He was like, the guy who stacked the chairs.
Oh, dude, the amazing
Slater. Was it halftime?
Yeah.
I thought he was going to die.
He makes me...
Not my father-in-law.
So nervous.
The guy on the chairs.
Dude, I get so nervous watching him work.
So is that your favorite halftime entertainment?
No, I get physically uncomfortable.
Oh.
Like, you know the bit, right?
Yeah.
He stacks chairs.
Yeah.
And by the end, he's like 100 feet off. Like, he's almost touching the Jumbotron. And I'm like, dude. And you could see it in his face. He's like, I don't know if this is going to work.
You know? Literally, they show the, like, promo in the second quarter of, like, who the halftime performer is. They popped it up on the Jumbotron, and Bobby's like, oh, no, I can't.
I can't
I don't
watch
like
him.
This guy.
I don't watch it. Usually I go hide in the bathroom, like, for the
Stop
whole show.
It.
Yeah. But, like, last night, I, like, had my face in my laptop. Like, I
could not look up.
I can't do it. Are your kids old enough to understand, like, the risk and the thrill of it all?
My daughter wouldn't watch. She was, like, face planted into my wife, like, too scared.
Your daughter and I are, like, simpatico.
Yeah. My son was captivated. I'm like, don't get any ideas. Yeah. I just walk into his room, and he's
the
like,
the amazing
look!
Roman.
How'd you break your arm? Well, I saw this guy.
Wow. Wow. That's interesting coming from your family, too, because Isaac is notoriously anti-halftime show. You are not a big halftime show
None
guy.
None of them. Ban them all.
Wow. Austin?
I like halftime. I like the entertainment. I like the magic, the quick change.
Oh, quick change.
Oh, my gosh.
R.I.P.
Like, America's Got Talent used to be my favorite show, and I feel like that's every halftime performer comes from America's Got Talent.
Yeah.
You know what would be much better that I think people would watch and enjoy? If they just played Austin talking to, like, Daniel Gafford, that interview.
Ooh, that would be a great way to spend halftime.
It's like, there you go. You know what? You save some money by bringing in some trampeze artist. And
dude, they're cool though. Like, a lot of halftime shows are cool. Some of them are a little breathtaking, a little too little take too much breath. I agree with Austin. I think that you're like on an island on this one.
I'll drink
yay or nay to halftime. Cat
indifferent.
Put her hand in
they're
the
indifferent.
Air. Okay. And then Chopper's cutting away.
I do feel bad though if they're performing and then everyone gets up to like go to the restroom. Because then they're like,
I don't.
No one's watching them.
They're still getting paid the same.
That's sad, though.
You're such a hater.
I want them to have support and love and feel like people are enjoying it.
Most importantly, safety.
Go volunteer to be their, like, crowd participant in some of the magic shows.
Drop a comment below and let us know what your favorite halftime show is and let us know why Isaac is super wrong. All right? But at least you defend your take with conviction.
I'll drink a margarita on that island all by myself.
Well, maybe you can spend halftime just doing that tonight, okay? But last night, hey, we were all in the arena. Think were you in the broadcast truck?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Isaac was up hanging out with his work fam over his over
fam?
His blood fam.
Yeah. Yeah.
He did go check. He was up there like basically right before tip off or right after tip off.
Yeah.
And then went down to visit them at halftime. So he still spent plenty of quality time with the kiddos.
Mm. Yeah.
And he was getting a lot of text updates throughout the game too.
Mm. A lot. Yes.
I saw Bobby before the game, and he was like, hey, what's up? And then just kept going like this, and I'm like, uh-oh, I know what he's doing. He's playing that game.
Maybe. Maybe. No comment. But I did catch a 96 IV Cartana last night, so I'm pretty excited. Okay, so the Mavs take down the Hawks. 109-95, man. I bet both coaches wish the last 6 minutes of this game never happened. Certainly many people in the crowd probably wish the last 6 minutes never happened, but everything that happened before that was pretty good. You know, a little bit of a slugfest, but hey, the Mavs get another big win. bouncing back from a tough loss in Golden State the other night.
Hey, I got to interrupt Bobby for a second. It wasn't the last 6 minutes. It was the fourth quarter. The Hawks scored 14 points, and the Mavs scored 16 points in the fourth quarter.
Oof.
So he's kind of underselling that both teams did not want to play the fourth quarter.
I'm trying to spin it and do what we do here.
Okay. It was a full 12 minutes.
No, it was just the last couple minutes. Austin, just quick takeaway from the game.
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe Luka didn't want to play the first quarter either because he had a slow start. But besides the first quarter for Luka and the fourth quarter for everyone, pretty good game for the Mavs. They played great defense. Coach Kidd said, you know, it wasn't pretty at times, but they got it done. They found a way to win coming off that really long road trip, their longest of the season. Probably tired. You're getting to that point in the season where, you know, every game is so important, but that was a long road trip for them. So they came out, they figured out a way to get a win at home. They have, you know, 3 home games in 4 days. So all of these games are important. PJ was great. Their defense was great. So, and Luka was great after the first quarter. So,
yeah, we'll talk more about the defense and PJ Washington's good game soon. But to your point, Luka, 0 points in the first quarter.
That's
rare. He started 0 for 5 with like 3 turnovers.
Yeah. And a couple fouls too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in the fourth quarter, 0 points. But in the second and third quarter,
there we go. That's all we need.
25 points, including another miracle shot.
Yep.
Isaac, what were your thoughts on the game?
Yeah, I mean, it was the second quarter. Luka scores 16. Mavs put up 40 in that quarter, and that was the big quarter for them. They lost the rebounding battle. All the cameras. and yet, still,
how did they win the game?
Still won. But yeah, they launched the threes in this game. I got some stuff in a little bit when we talk about the Warriors and threes versus scoring in the paint. But just super happy for PJ. You know, he continued to shoot the ball, and but yeah, it was Luka scoring 16 there in the second quarter was huge.
It's another example too, you know. Even in the Brunson era, right, or whenever they had Dinwiddie and they had these other dynamic guards, like if Luka would get off to a really, really sluggish start like that, just missing, maybe gets in foul trouble, then it's like, oh God, you know, like how is this game going to go? There's no way that this is going to end well, right? But the Mavs have the luxury of having Kyrie Irving.
Yep.
So Luka gets off to a bad start. Kyrie last night ends up leading the team in scoring, 26 points, 10 of 21 from the floor, made 3 more threes. Awfully close to a 50-40-90. I don't know what his season stats look like, but they are, he's got to be knocking on the door. And so, hey, one guy's off, the other guy will definitely pick it up, you know? And if the other guy's off, hey, you can always come back to the other dude. I guess that is the luxury of having two of these guys.
Overall, it's just an ugly game. I mean, 35 combined turnovers between the two teams. It just, you know, Mavs look...
Well, Atlanta had 21 of them.
Yeah.
39 combined fouls, too. I thought we were letting them play.
35 turnovers combined in the game. But, yes, Atlanta had 21 of them. There are some people playing on the floor for Atlanta. I'm like, I got one guy that I'm like, cool, nice to meet you. But no, it was Mavs were
Isaac's introduction to Jalen Johnson.
No, no, he's good. Jalen Johnson's good. But no, got to see old friend Wes Matthews get some minutes.
Yep.
Shout out. And but yeah, it was one of those like, hey, let's just get out of this game with a win. Let's not have any, more injuries. Obviously, Lively was out of this game and Josh Green out of this game. A couple of the guys were getting up slow.
I was kind of concerned about Gafford a couple times.
Yeah.
Like you got
Kyrie, Maxey, I'm just like, just please protect all of you all. Just don't get hurt.
And they got to get up and do it all over again in like a couple hours. Yes. So good luck to everybody involved. But the Warriors do too. The Warriors played last night. And we will take a look at tonight's game, get you ready for that here soon. But let's talk about the defense a little more. So last night, the Hawks scored 95 points. It was the fifth time in the last 12 games that the Mavs have held their opponent under 100 points, which up until this year would seem like a much less impressive feat because the Mavs have played a very slow-paced brand of basketball for like decades now. But this year, the Mavs are like a top five, top 10 team in pace. So in that time, over the last 12 games, the Mavs are the number one defense in the NBA by defensive rating, a 104.3 defensive rating. We've talked about it so many times. You have to have like multiple ways to win. And on a night when maybe your stars are off, everyone is sluggish, guys are just nursing all sorts of bumps and bruises, hey, it's awfully cool to just make the other team have a way worse game than you.
Yeah. You have to have multiple ways to win with your offense, but like defense should always be there. And that's what the Mavs have shown throughout this season, that they are, you know, making that a point of emphasis. Luka talks about it after every game that, you know, he's getting stops, he's getting steals, he's, you know, getting deflections and forcing teams to turn the ball over. So it starts with Luka. We've talked about this before, but overall, yeah, you hold Atlanta to 38 second half points total, 14 in the fourth quarter, like you said. So, I mean, the Hawks weren't great, but still, like, to play defense, to not play down to the level of competition, to keep playing like your brand and playing that solid defense. Seven steals, seven blocks. They forced Atlanta 21 turnovers. So they're stacking multiple defensive stops together, getting multiple stops in a row. And that just has to continue, especially once you get to the playoffs.
Isaac, they held the Hawks to 44% shooting in the paint, 16 of 36. I thought Daniel Gafford in particular was very, very good protecting the rim.
Yeah, you said something on the stream on Wednesday. You're talking about that 2011 team with Dirk and how they surrounded Dirk with these really good defensive players and Tyson Chandler, Tron Marion, Jason Kidd, even though you know Kidd was later on in his career. And you know, you look at this current team right now, and this, you know, this newish starting lineup with Derrick Jones, PJ Washington, and Daniel Gafford in there. And it's like, we all know that Luka probably isn't going to be an all defensive team anytime soon. But when you surround him with these three, you know, these three guys, that this has been the thing about, hey, we got to get bigger. Got to get bigger on the perimeter, and getting a guy like PJ in there, starting a Derrick Jones in there, who, you know, when we played the Warriors the other night, thought his length was really helpful against a guy like Steph.
Yeah.
You know, Daniel Gafford last night, how many blocks did he finish with? He had at least had a couple. Well,
Had two, but he nearly blocked about 12 of them.
Yeah. I felt like Sean.
You getting choked up right now?
I am. I never expect to see a Mavs team good on defense. But no, it's just like you have those three guys out there. They're really good on, you know, on defense, and they're, you know, the bigger guys on the perimeter and down low. It helped negates maybe some of the lack of defense at the other two spots.
And defense always gives you a chance to win, right? Defense travels. Mm-hmm. If you can count on your defense, hey, you can afford to have an off night. If you have other guys stepping up and making shots, then your stars don't have to carry the load, right? Like last night, Luka goes 8 of 25, Kyrie 10 of 21, which is really good, but combined, 18 for 46. Not great, Bob, but they had another guy step up in a big way. PJ Washington Jr. goes 6 of 11 from the floor, knocks down 5 threes, scores 19 points. Isaac, over these last 5 or so games, he is really starting to pick it up.
Yeah, PJ over his last 5 games, 17 of 37 from 3. It's 46%. You know, ever since he came over in the trade, you know, we've talked so much like, hey, he's going to play a lot. He's going to play 30, 35 minutes a game. He's going to get the corner, threes. It's just a matter of if he hits them or not. And he hasn't been hitting them to start his tenure in Dallas. And hopefully it feels like he's maybe turned the page a little bit over the past 5 or 6 games. And, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, I feel like it's a broken record. Like, if these supporting guys can shoot the three at a high clip, I mean, where this team can go is, like, that's when you start talking about the ceiling being very, very high, because they're going to get open shots. And he's hitting them right now.
Austin, basketball player, question for you.
Mm-hmm.
So, PJ, obviously, like, open threes are going to be open no matter who you're playing with, no matter who you're playing for, you know. But now it's been, what is it, like 6 weeks,
mm-hmm.
8 weeks since he's joined the Mavs. He's played, what, 15, 20 games here, something like that. How long do you think it takes to get comfortable playing with guys, to get comfortable in your new role, to get comfortable kind of in a new situation? Do you see that happening, or is it just a matter of he's just knocking down his shots?
I mean, we even saw it with Luka and Kyrie last year, how people said they weren't completely comfortable with the games that they played together last year. So it takes time, and every game is just another opportunity to get to know your teammates more and understand, you know, the things that they do and kind of read each other's minds in that way. Shooting, eventually you're going to, you should, if you're a great shooter, you should be able to carry that with you wherever you go, whatever team you're playing with, whatever arena you're in. But it just says a lot about PJ that after that stretch of the eight games where he was shooting like 16% from three, to really stay the course, put in that extra time in the gym. You talked about it, how he was just getting up continuous shots and just really working on that. And now in these past six games, shooting at like 44%. So he's talked about it, just staying confident. His teammates are, you know, encouraging him, and you just got to get your feet set, get your footwork right, and then knock down the shot.
You can really see the rhythm too. Like he is catching, going up. Like there's no hesitation.
Right.
It looks very smooth, very quick. Like it feels like now he knows that he's going to shoot before he even gets the ball.
That's the biggest thing. Yeah, for sure. I mean, the second you question it, you hesitate, you think, do I make the extra pass or should I drive? Like that throws off your whole routine and rhythm. So just having that, you know, having that mindset, like you are ready, you're in your stance and like you're wanting the ball to come to you so you can shoot it immediately. That makes the biggest difference. And you're seeing that confidence coming out with the way that he knows he's going to shoot it before he even gets the ball. And then once he does, he's been knocking them down.
And it's so important too, because whenever you're playing with a guy like Luka or a guy like Kyrie, who are getting so many double teams, facing so much pressure, you only have half a second, you know, of open air space. And if you do hesitate, or if you don't catch it clean, or if it takes you a while to get rid of the ball, all of a sudden that open jumper becomes a, I might have to pass it again. And then there's 3 seconds left in the shot clock and everybody's mad at you. You know, and I don't like it when people are mad at me. All right. PJ's playing well. They're going to need a lot of guys to step up tonight against the Warriors. And again, we will get you ready for that. But first, it's time to make a case. All right. The polls are about to close. Now, I want to make it clear. If you're in line, stay in line. If you were one of the 100, how many people get an MVP vote?
I don't know.
Stephen A is one of them. So
if you're one of, I think it's 100. But what if you're one of the people with an MVP vote, stay in line.
Tim Cato, stay in line.
Tim Cato, stay in line. Other ones, Tim McMahon?
Surely.
Tim Bontemps? If your name is Tim, stay in line.
Tim Hardaway.
Tim Hardaway Jr., get in line, stay in line. All right? The polls are about to close, but don't cast your vote yet. Let's see how this race finishes. And before you get a chance to cast your vote, Tim Cato, before you get a chance to cast your vote, other people that have votes, we want you to tune into the Corner 3 on the Mavs YouTube channel or on Spotify or iTunes to hear Austin and Isaac state their case for number 77 to take home the Most Valuable Player Award. Real quick rundown of what this guy Luka has done this season. He scored 73 points in a game. He had a 25-point triple-double in the first half, 50 points on Christmas. He's averaging almost 34 points per game. He's averaging almost a 30-point triple-double. He's very good. The Mavs are really dang good, too. So it seems like a layup, but it isn't.
Mm-hmm.
Austin, I want you to, however many people vote, I want you to change their freaking minds right now.
Okay.
The floor is yours.
Okay. I think this is Luka's best season that he's had. The numbers, the team, everything is doing so well right now for him. The past month, a triple-double, player of the month for March and back in February as well. So the numbers that he's putting up, he's the league leader for scoring almost 34 points a game. But if it's, you're saying it's not just points that makes a difference, and that's not only the only thing you look at when you're looking for an MVP. If you combine your points, rebounds, and assists of what you average per game, he's at 52.9. That's the second best of those three combined since 1971. So no one is putting up that type of combined of points, rebounds, and assists. So that shows he is so valuable. He does everything for this team. It's not just his scoring. The Mavs started out with, you know, some unhealthy players to start the season. So the record compared to Oklahoma City or Denver, we have a fewer games that we've won compared to them. But still, right now, the Mavs are playing great. They're heating up. He's going to lead this team into the playoffs. They're gonna go far, and the big reason is Luka. So, MVP.
They're gonna go far.
Yeah.
How far are we talking? Someone in the office is real fired up about what you
they
just
agreed.
Said.
They agreed.
I don't know if that popped up on the mic, but we got some.
They loved it.
We got some screams like right after you finished.
We need a live audience. Just a.
We do. I mean, maybe they're pumping it into the gaming room. Maybe that's why they're fired up. We streaming on YouTube right now, Chopper? Chopper says, I hope not.
I hope not.
All right, Isaac, it's your turn. For anybody whose mind isn't changed and opinion isn't swayed, I need you to deliver the finishing blow.
I mean, well, Austin did a great job. I mean, I think when you look at, you know, for Luka's career, you look at, you know, even last season, what did you want Luka to improve? It's hard for somebody like him to improve because he's already playing at this, like, historic level. You want him to get in better shape? He did that. You want him to get better at defense? He did that. You want him to pick up the pace? He's done that. Like, you look at him playing more off the ball, he's doing that. He's adjusting, you know, to that with Kyrie. I mean, we could talk about his numbers all day. I mean, with, you know, Austin's, you know, stats since 1971 of what he's doing, you know, across the board with points, rebounds, and assists, he's obviously the most valuable player to this team. He's done it on the biggest stages this year with the 73-point game and, I mean, different stages. The Suns game, they always get hyped up when they play each other. He kills it in that game. They win that game. I mean, I think one of the biggest things for him when you look at, you know, I said this on Wednesday, so these numbers are from 2 days ago, but when you naturally compare him to Jokic and SGA, if you just look at those two teams, you look at the changes this year that's happened for Dallas and the continuity, because this matters so much when it comes to team record and how hard it is to keep your team at the top of your conference whenever you're you're switching out players left and right. You look at the five-man unit for Dallas, who's played the most minutes this year, that is with Derrick Jones, PJ, Gafford, and obviously Kyrie and Luka. They played 122 minutes together. These numbers were on Wednesday. You look at an OKC team, their starting five that's played the most minutes together, 782 minutes together. You take it a next step for Denver. The five-man unit has played the most minutes together, 895 minutes together. That those five guys who wanted a title have played together this year for Denver compared to Dallas's 122 minutes together. So you could even look at injuries and stuff too. And it's like you look at Denver, of the eight-man rotation in Denver has played the most minutes or averages the most minutes a game for Denver. Everybody except Jamal Murray, who's missing some games right now, have played at least 70 games for Denver. Pretty good, healthy team that's happening for the Nuggets right now. For Dallas, only two players have barely hit 70, and that's Tim Hardaway Jr. and Derrick Jones Jr. And so it's like key players have missed games for Dallas. Other, you know, some of these other teams have been healthier. Some of these other teams have more continuity. It's playing together. Their starting fives are playing together more. So, you know, when you're comparing Jokic, these guys who are having a great season, a Jokic, SGA, a Luka, you have to split hairs. You are looking at things like, okay, wow, this guy's – I get the game's, like, one argument. I'm always going to be pro that when it comes to determining an MVP. And if somebody is, you know, the top in their conference and they win their conference and they're having an insane season, I get it. I get why the MVP vote could go to them. But everything that's been asked of Luka this season for him to improve, he's done it. And he's done it at this, like, insane level. He's hitting these historic numbers. He's the most valuable player on this team. And they could finish fifth or sixth in the Western Conference. It's absolutely insane. So, there you go. I mean, that's the best case you can make for it. But it's like, I actually kind of get, like, if Jokic wins his third MVP, I get it. Like, I don't think it's a, hey, it's outrageous if Jokic wins this award. I think if SGA wins it over Luka, I think Luka has a pretty good case over SGA. That's why for me it's kind of like a Jokic versus Luka thing right now. And unfortunately, like, I think that, like, if Denver hits the number one spot in the West and finishes that, it might be tough for Luka to win it. But they're right there fighting with OKC and Minnesota. What if Denver finishes third and Dallas finishes fifth?
Or fourth.
Or fourth. The odds are not in their favor right now.
Yeah.
But I don't know. We'll see. He as far as, like, on paper, he deserves, like, he is having an MVP season. Unfortunately, he might get beat by Jokic on this.
Yeah. You both make compelling cases. A little more info from me here. League's leading scorer despite facing the most double teams by a mile.
Do you have the blitz numbers? Oh, sorry.
Can you talk for 5 seconds and I can?
So, like, a blitz, you know, when Luka has the ball and, you know, he comes off a screen or, you know, he gets back, like, and they immediately blitz him with two guys. like if Luka, it feels like teams do this. We always talk about how teams have got to pick their poison when defending Luka. And when a team chooses to pick that path of defending Luka, of, hey, we're going to dare the other guys to shoot the ball, then a lot of times they'll bring that blitz pretty quick and try to immediately get the ball in Luka's hands. Now Luka's 6'8 and can hit anybody in the floor, depending on how fast Bobby can look up the stat.
Well, I have it, Isaac. Oh. So screens where the defense either showed or blitz. Show is kind of like a sort of a soft double team. Blitz is like a hard double team. Luka has been shown or blitzed 703 times this season. Second most in the NBA, Jalen Brunson 442 times. So that's 300 times. So Luka's getting double teamed 5 times more per game just off picks than the next guy. And only 8 players other than Luka have been blitzed or shown against at least 300 times. So we're talking about,
and he's at what again?
More than 700.
Wow.
Yeah. Still leading the league in scoring. Career best season from 3 in terms of percentage and makes. Not sure on 2s. I forgot to look that up. My bad, but I think it's
Slacker.
Up there. Career high in free throw percentage. So all of his individual stats in terms of scoring are better than they've ever been, despite facing more pressure than any other player in the league. Not even close. But then also whenever you want to talk about value, right, it's like raising the efficiency, raising the floor of your team, making everybody else's jobs easier. Go up and down this team's roster. Daniel Gafford, since coming to Dallas, easily the best stretch of basketball he's ever played in his career, or most productive, most impactful, whatever you want to say. Is that a surprise to anybody? Derek Lively, going to make an all-rookie team, very deservedly so. Is that a surprise to anybody? Kyrie Irving, third highest effective field goal percentage of his career, third highest three-point percentage of his career. On 2s, I can't do the math quick enough. I think the third highest 2-point percentage of his career, one of the best seasons of his career across the board. Is that a surprise? Derek Jones Jr. is going to get a big, probably beefy contract this summer after playing on the minimum for a couple years in a row now. Gosh, I wonder why that's possible. Dante Exum, easily the best season of his career, yeah. Not even close. Josh Green shooting above 40% again. PJ Washington now is like being talked about as this incredible defender who is now contributing on offense the last few games too. All of those guys have one thing in common: they play with Dwight Powell. I mean, they play with Luka. So not only is Luka
Clip
having
that, end it right there.
And not only is Luka having an unbelievable, like unprecedented, historically, like mind-boggling season, despite facing more pressure than any other player in the league, almost every other player in the rotation, or many of them, I won't say almost every other, but many, many, many players in the rotation are having the best, second best seasons of their career. That is not really a coincidence. You can't make that claim about many other players on many other teams, many other times in history. You know, unprecedented attention paid to this guy who is having a season we've never seen before, and everybody else is eating too.
Yeah.
You know, if that's not an MVP, I don't know what is. I don't care what is. Like, it just doesn't matter. If that's not the MVP, then what is the point? What's the point of the award? Tell me. Tell me, Tim Cato. Hey, other voters, tell me.
It's to go on your basketball reference page.
That's it. It's to do historical debates that don't matter at all.
So if Luka doesn't win, are you, like, over the award?
If Luka doesn't win, we burn it all down.
Is he over? You're already over the award.
Yeah, I don't like the MVP. But I'm making my case.
We can talk MVP.
I'm playing along. Y'all can.
I care.
If Luka doesn't win, then in our, what is it? They announce it after the first round. In our round 2 preview of the corner 3, I'll let you guys dissect what we should do about it.
MVP matters. You heard it here.
What about rebounding?
Rebounding always matters.
Okay. Liar. You liar.
Don't start.
I'm lying about the MVP. You're lying about rebounding.
You were just looking up Gilbert Arenas clips while ago.
No, I was not. I was not. All right, moving on. The Mavs play the Warriors tonight here. I mean, depending on when you're watching this, listening to this, like in a matter of moments,
you're
TV. You're
probably in traffic.
Yeah, you probably are. Get home. Strap yourselves in. It's going to be a wild night. Now, Austin came into the studio today glowing, saying, I have a stat.
Oh, yeah, I gave you the stats.
No!
I mean, I told you them. I think.
I don't think you did. I thought you said, should I tell you? And we said no.
Your stat
that was a different stat.
Your stat was the 71 stat, right? 1971?
Well, yeah. No.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. That was a great stat. Is that the stat?
That was great.
That was a great stat.
I don't
stat.
Know what my stat was.
Okay,
now.
So, all right. Well, then let me do this then. All right. I'm sitting at media dining last night at the arena a couple hours before tip-off, and Austin walks over and says, I got a lot of Warrior stats, too. Like, you're really gassing yourself up here.
I know, but now... Okay.
Cook. You
okay.
just have too many notes.
No, let's do it.
Well, the Mavs played the Warriors the other night, and the game was good until it was over, and then it wasn't good anymore. And now they're going to try and right the ship tonight. So before we can talk about the game tonight, I want to identify, hey, what are a couple things that went wrong? Why did the game go sideways in the first Mavs Warriors in part one, right? And how can the Mavs bounce back in the rematch tonight? So,
well, I definitely okay. can't go first. Okay. You got...
Yeah, I got to tell you my stats so excited. You don't steal it.
No,
it's not even like. Okay, basically, the reason they lost is because the Mavs were 2 for 7 with clutch baskets in that game.
A lot of open clanks.
Yes. The Mavs have been great in clutch. Kyrie has been one of the best fourth quarter scorers. They had won 7 straight. They were due for a loss at some point. Like, you can't keep that up. But really the reason, a game of runs, the fourth quarter, they just couldn't make their shots. They were 0 for 4 on threes, clutch threes. So that was the biggest reason. If they could have made 1, 2 of those, it really would have been the difference. Luka was 1 for 3. He played the whole fourth quarter. I feel like he was just a little tired. And
they all looked pretty gassed.
Yeah. And then Golden State had 6 second chance points in the clutch and down the stretch. Like, you can't give up offensive rebounds and let them get easy put back. So those are my stats. Those are the reasons why they lost this game. So you make some adjustments where you make some shots down the stretch, or, you know, build up a lead so it's not so close in the last few minutes of the game, then you'll win tonight.
So in the fourth quarter, to your point, the Warriors, 5 offensive rebounds. One by Andrew Wiggins, one by Gary Payton. These are wings, guards.
Yeah.
Like, Kevon Looney had 2, Draymond had 1, but you got to keep everybody off the glass. Mm-hmm. It's not so much just about the big man, right?
Yeah.
It is. So everybody's got to box out. You got to defend the possession as a team. You got to end the possession as a team. You know, and I feel like that, like, missing open shots, especially jumpers, and not boxing out, and they were late in rotations. Like, some of that is signs of just fatigue. Exhaustion, but hey, they just played last night. They're gonna be tired again tonight too. Mm-hmm. So like, you can't
make excuses. Yeah,
you got to dig deep. Like, you got to do it. Now the Warriors are gonna be tired too. They also played last night. They beat Houston pretty good down in Houston. Kind of unofficially decided the race for the 10 seed. We'll take a look at the standings here in a second. Both teams are gonna be a little tired.
I needed
who can dig deeper.
I needed the Warriors to play a little bit more minutes last night, though.
A little too easy at the end.
Yeah.
A little too easy at the end. But Isaac, I mean, the Mavs looked pretty sludgy in the fourth quarter last night, too. Yeah. Now the Warriors come in and they can play just as fast as the Hawks, if not faster, because you got all the stuff going on the perimeter with Steph and Clay and all these guys. How do they get it done? How do they fight through the mental and the physical fatigue?
Is sludgy a word?
I don't think so. Grimy?
We'll go sludgy. When you are sludgy, you settle, and you settle for outside.
Sludgy is a word.
Wow.
Not on Wordle.
Give me the definition.
Soft, wet, and very thick.
Oh, my God.
Example, a thick, sludgy pudding.
No examples.
What?
This took a turn fast. When you're sludgy... You settle for outside shots. They got to get into the paint. They only had 38 points in the paint against the Warriors. Some points in the paint numbers. Pre-All-Star break for Dallas, they were 28th in the league in points in the paint with a 32-23 record. Post-All-Star break for Dallas, they are 15th in the league. So they jumped up to like half to the halfway point in the league for points in the paint with a 14-7 record. If you do it by month, like, I know they've only played 3 games in April so far, but they're only averaging 36 points in the paint these first 3 games in April. That's 28th in the league. You look at March, they had such a good record in March. They were 11-4 in the month of March. Can you guess where they're at in points in the paint?
I would say probably top 2 and ain't 2.
Not 2, but close. Tied for 6. There are a few teams there tied for 6. So
such bad propaganda.
But they averaged 52 points in the paint in the month of March. And they're 11-4. I think there's a correlation there to where if this team gets into the paint, then it's a path to an easier win for them. But going back to and full circle when I first started talking here, like when you are tired and you're sludgy and you're all of that, then you start settling and you take these contested threes and outside shots. You're like, I don't want to give, you know, more energy to try to get into the paint, score against these guys, maybe fall down and all of that. If they don't, I mean, how many threes did they take against Atlanta the other night? I mean, it was
several hundred.
It was a ton.
It was a lot. So
get into the paint. You can't have 38 points in a paint against the Warriors. They don't have, it's not like they have a Rudy Gobert or Twin Towers down there. You got to get into the paint. And I think, I'll say this. I think if they score 45 points in the paint, they win the game against Golden State.
What if they score 46?
Yeah.
Okay.
At least.
Okay. God. All right. Okay.
And also, I think it's important that, like, you do that early. Like, you make it, like, a point of emphasis, like, to start the game doing that. And I feel like a lot of times they do, like, the first few plays you see, like, the pick and roll and, like, Gafford gets a dunk or Lively gets a dunk. But I think that really sets the tone in games when you do that early. You show their defenses that, like, this is what we're going to do. You're going to have to make adjustments and defend that. And then that's when the threes come easier to you. But, like, you make it a point of emphasis early on in the game, and that kind of just continues.
And Draymond's hard to do this with because he's so good at playing, you know, showing back. Like, you don't know what he's doing. So then he could defend, you know, a Gafford who's going up top. So it's a little harder when you have somebody as smart and as good on defense as Draymond, but get into the paint.
His block on Gafford at the end was unbelievable, man.
Yeah,
unbelievable. To y'all's points, second half in the first game against the Warriors just the other day, Mavs 9 of 15 in the paint, so 60% in the paint in the second half of that game. It's pretty good, right? On all shots not taken in the paint, 11 of 29, including 8 of 23 on threes. Now, a lot of them were wide open at the very end of the game. A lot of them were good shots. But if you're going to take them, you got to knock them down. You know, that's the thing. Like, if more than – they took 44 shots in the second half. More than half of them were threes. They only made 8 of them. Like, their defense in that game, despite the Warriors' bench just shooting 9,000%, over 9,000%, the Mavs still had a chance to win the game at the very end. Their defense gave them a chance to win. It's up to the offense to do it. Like, you got to hit the shots. You got to hit the shots. Now, the Warriors' defense, like you said, Isaac, is not going to make it easy on you. I feel like Andrew Wiggins is a really, really good Luka defender. And Luka went through it last night against DeAndre Hunter. Like, it's a tough back-to-back for Luka. And really tough three-game stretch. It's the third game in 4 nights after a 4-hour flight where he just played Andrew Wiggins the other day. So, like, it's tough. It's going to be really, really hard on Luka tonight. So they need the shooters to pick him up. They need the big men to pick him up.
And they've been, you know, last time they put Luka on Wiggins. And when you're sludgy, you get beat backdoor. Or not on, you know, on boards and stuff. And Wiggins had one of his best games of the season.
Yep.
And whoever they put on Wiggins, whoever, you know, they got to find the energy on a second night of a back-to-back. And I'm getting choked up again.
This is why you need your
I know. I didn't even bring a water today. This is why I'm dying.
You really need some.
About to chug it.
Yeah. It's going to be a tough game. I mean, there's really no way around it. The Warriors are, I believe, in their last 33 games, they're 23-10. So they're playing like a, whatever, extrapolate that, like a 55-win team now for almost half the season. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. Both teams are tired. They just played the other day. I don't know about Jonathan Kuminga's status. I believe he's going to be able to go tonight. The Warriors have said they feel good about his chances playing against the Mavs tonight. By the time this episode comes out, you might know the answer. So don't get mad at me if I'm wrong. But yeah, it's going to be tough. It's going to be really tough. But hard things are hard. This is a playoff push. It's a playoff push. Every game matters. Why does every game matter? If the Mavs win, they might have home court. And if they lose, they could fall down to like ninth. Not tonight. But it is so close in the West. It is so close in the Western Conference. As we take a look at the standings here, Dallas, with the win last night and just more losses by the Pelicans, who have now lost 3 straight. The Kings blow a 20-point lead against the Knicks, albeit it was in the first half. The Knicks had plenty of time to come back. Dallas is now a game clear of Phoenix with the tiebreaker, crucially, for 6th. They're a game clear of the Pelicans for 7th, and then they are 2 games up on Sacramento. And depending on how the tiebreakers work out, the Mavs are in pretty good position against all of those teams. But, holy moly, is it close. Like, how much scoreboard watching are you doing these days, Isaac?
More than what I want. I mean, but this is what you do at the end of the season. And, I mean, what was I, like, really cheering for Brunson last night against the Kings? Yeah. I mean, when am I not cheering for Brunson? But especially that tough news for them, losing Randall for the year.
Yeah, it is tough.
As far as their ceiling.
Saw someone say it's one of the all-time what-ifs in NBA history, though, and I feel like that's
all-time.
That's a little much, but hey, that's fine.
Is it like Miles McBride Muse? Or
something like that.
Kings play Boston on Friday night on NBA TV. So, I mean, they could lose another one, possibly. But Pelicans play San Antonio.
The Spurs have been beating everybody lately except for the Mavs.
Timberwolves Suns is a good one late Friday night, late tonight.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that one plays out, too. I mean, the top of the West is just as much of a thing to talk about right now, too, I think. I mean, obviously not for us, but just the fact that they're all a game within each other, that's pretty wild.
Austin, I don't even want to ask how you think this is going to turn out because all of these teams are about to cannibalize
each
other.
No, she's always really positive.
Yeah.
Well, I don't mean the Mavs. Oh. I mean for every team. Or are you going to be like, I think every team is going to make it. That's toxic positivity, YouTube commenter. That's toxic positivity. Are you like reveling in the chaos? Is this fun to you or does it make your brain hurt? Because I'm kind of halfway in between.
No, it's fun to me. And with the Stars too, with how they're playing, I've been watching those standings as well too. So like every night, yeah, I'm refreshing like NHL standings and then NBA standings. So it's a fun time of year for me for sure. That win yesterday for the Mavs secured them a spot, at least top 10. So in the play-in. Obviously, our goal Woo-hoo! Is to not be in the play-in. You know, that's for sure.
It was last year, too.
Yeah. so they are doing everything they can to stay out of that play-in.
That was great.
Give Lively some extra time as well to get healthy and give him a couple days extra rest to not play those one or two games. So, yeah, the Mavs, I think they could get to fourth. Isaac, you're not as... No. optimistic or hopeful with that.
Well, here's the deal.
They have the
Clippers play the Suns twice in a row here pretty soon.
And the Mavs have the easiest strength of schedule remaining out of all like 4 through 10. Like so
what you're saying is.
And the Suns have one of the hardest. So I'm not worried about the Suns. I don't think they're catching the Mavs. I think
Who are you worried about? Nobody.
Well, we need the Suns or whoever the Clippers are playing to beat the Clippers.
But that's the thing, right? Like, if the Suns beat the Clippers both times,
then the Clippers are, or the Suns are getting closer
they could pass
to
the
us.
Mavs, yeah. So it's like, what do you do? And then like the Pelicans play all of the play-in teams just one by one soon.
You want to pick wins and losses for these final games? No, don't.
But like that is the big one, right? The Suns and the Clippers. If the Clippers go 2-0, the Mavs cannot catch the Clippers. But if the Clippers go 0-2. The Mavs might catch the Clippers, but what good is that if the Suns also pass you? Like, it just becomes...
But the Suns won't pass us because we're still going to win all our games. Because
plot armor?
Let's go. these are remaining games for Dallas. Obviously, I have Golden State tonight and then next week. So on Sunday, early tip, Houston.
That's going to be tough. Fourth game in 6 days, 2:30 tip. Not easy.
Tough. They could be out of it, though. Then we play Charlotte on Tuesday. Really tough back-to-back at Miami. Miami's... definitely playing for. We don't have East standings up, do we? No, we don't.
Frankly, sorry, would rather have Miami on the second night of the back to back than the first night of the back to back. In my
Why?
Professional traveling opinion, that's just me.
Detroit on a Friday, and then the last game of the season is on the 14th on Sunday against OKC. And good luck. I mean, there's no way you can predict who's going to be playing for what in that game.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, for either team.
OKC could have a seed locked in, and then. They're rolling out people we don't know, and then I don't know. So
yeah, it was kind of a. I appreciated the gesture, but somebody in the organization sent me like a playoff scenario graphic the other day, and was like, thought this might help you. And it's the most convoluted graphic of all time because there's like 72 different scenarios.
On blast here.
I was like, well, no, I was like,
they're never helping you out again.
No, like I appreciate this information a lot, but like. My God, there's only a week left in the regular season and nothing is clear.
So much can
Nothing is clear.
Yeah.
At all. Really in either. I mean, in the East, like Orlando could get the 2 seed or be in the play.
Sean Sweeney blocked him now.
No. Yeah. Well, no, I mean, like it was a valuable piece of information, but like.
It looks like it.
Pieces.
There's like everybody's magic number is like more than the number of games they have left. Like it doesn't even make sense. It is so confusing.
Wow.
This has got to be. The most complicated playoff scenario ever. And like, even if you, even if the play-in didn't exist, it would still be really complicated. Like, that's how, that's how, like, and I wish the play-in didn't exist, but even if it didn't exist, it would still make no sense at all in either conference.
Yeah. I like the play-in. It's making it entertaining.
Austin, all of your takes have been awesome until now. Even your boxed water.
Well, you know, I have to have something a little controversial. So that's, this is my one.
You like halftime?
Hot take.
Good. You like water and hydration? Good. You like the plan?
Not good.
That's like seven thumbs down.
Yeah, halftime is like, all right, cool. Liking the plan, I'm contemplating everything.
Is it not making it fun and entertaining?
Have you
no?
Have you listened? Yeah. Just because something is fun and entertaining doesn't mean that it's good for the soul.
Oh, wow. Getting metaphysical here.
So you're worried about your soul or like team's souls?
Everyone's souls. I just don't want to hand out participation ribbons every
We're
year.
We're not.
Mm.
They're
like,
not.
We want to expand the all-star team rosters too. Like, why don't we just make like
somebody
a
mentioned that? Like, buddy, that is not the problem with the all-star game.
Yeah. Okay, so now we have 30 players who don't care.
Yeah.
Anyway, at some point, 15 years from now, we're going to hand out three MVP awards.
Okay. Jeez.
Just two. One for
each conference.
Yeah.
I actually. I could get on board with that, to be honest.
We're going to have four All-NBA teams.
Yeah. Hey, why not have 10? You know? Why isn't there an All-Defense third team?
Because you got to cut
Riddle
it
me
off
that.
At some point. Like, and
Riddle
be like,
me that.
Hey, this is valuable. And then every basketball reference page is going to have a million different accolades. It's like, hey, you're eighth team All-Defense. It's like, cool. You are the 40th. Like,
he's just a hater.
The play-in is he's way better than the in-season tournament.
Bad take.
No,
all right.
End season's fine.
All right. We got to get out of here. I'm about to start getting mad.
Cat what, agrees. You agree with that?
Cat, go root. The Kings are in trouble, Cat. They
yes.
need you. All right.
Go fly to
you
Boston.
You should be busy right now. You should be busy right now. Don't weigh in. You get, actually, no. Don't.
Is that a
don't
Kevin
cheer on
Herter
the Kings.
Jersey?
We need the Kings to keep. Whatever you're doing is working. Whatever you're doing is working. All right.
Oh, no. Here we go.
Oh, I still have one more stat.
Oh, okay. All right. One more stat.
You figured it out?
Yeah. Okay, so you're looking at the schedule. The Mavs play a back-to-back tonight. Like, this is the second night of a back-to-back, and then they have one more. So
is that your stat?
No. Yes. The Mavs have two back-to-backs left.
All right.
That's
it. The Mavs have two back-to-backs left.
No, that's not a stat.
That's what Coop gave her.
I'm like, oh my gosh, thank you. No, so
Bobby, I have a stat. Do you know the Mavs have two back-to-backs left?
Okay, all right, keep going. I'm not Sorry. Telling you my stat.
No, I want it. Just tell me the stat. Right,
I'm ready. Yeah, I'm not telling Isaac. It's a secret, Bobby. Don't tell Isaac, but the Mavs have two back-to-backs. Yesterday the Hawks were playing a back-to-back for them. And then there's three more teams that we play that are also playing on back-to-back. So all I was saying is that, like, yes, the Mavs are tired at this point in the season, but three more of these teams out of the last six are also kind of in the same boat and same scenario. So you just can't use, you know, being tired or being a little banged up as an excuse at this point in the season.
That's
so
good.
So
no, that's good.
My set.
I mean, it's a war of attrition down the stretch. You're right. Every team is tired.
Yeah.
Every team is banged up. Everybody is exhausted, including Isaac and we're exhausted of Isaac.
Wait, why is this a two screen?
We're and
this is great.
You just got to dig deep. You got to. This really is
you
like.
You said you wanted two, so not threes.
The most generic, get him out of here. The most generic sports take is like it really does come down to just like who wants it more,
yeah.
Who's willing to lay it out on the line more, who can find the juice, who can bring the boxed water, who can bring the bottled water, who can bring the coffee, who can bring the energy stuff.
Nothing.
Who can bring air?
I got emotional.
Who can bring the tears and the blood and the sweat and the sludge and all that other stuff?
Yep.
Hey, we're going to find out. It's the Mavs and the Warriors tonight. One of the biggest games of the season. Hey, if not the biggest game of the season, tune in on Monday for Welcome to Mavsland.
Yep.
That's with Isaac. And then next week, hey, we got a whole bunch more content. We got more Take That With You. We got a stream on Wednesday. We got Somos. We got a stream on Thursday. We got the Corner 3 next Friday. We are going to be with you every step of the way down this down the stretch of this playoff chase that none of us can make sense of.
Yeah.
For Kat and
but
for Chopper.
Next Friday, we'll have more clarity on everything.
For Kat and Chopper. hurling taunts my way in the back. For Isaac, with some of the worst sports opinions of all time. And for Austin, with some pretty good takes, but an unfortunate play-in take. I'm Bobby.
Sounds like the plane crashed this time. It's not
and
even...
we'll see you next time on the Corner 3. Have a great weekend.
It wasn't just a bumpy landing. It was a crash landing.